And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the decline of Western civilization and the influence of a decadent Western civilization to many other nations around the world, the problem, of course, started with America. The problem starts with Jean-Jacques Rousseau in France. The problem starts with John Locke in England. The problem starts with Jeremy Bentham in England. The problem starts with John Dewey in America. The problem starts with the Western intellectuals that eventually formed a certain sociopolitical, socioeconomic systems that took the Western world towards existentialism, humanism, materialism, and away from the Christian faith. The Christian faith was a great idea. It was a very important foundation stone of Western civilization for some 1,500 years. And yet, over time, through the Renaissance, through the Enlightenment, and through the modern age, we have seen the church, the Christian church, decline in its influence. And certainly, the Roman Catholic Church declined quickly because the lowest birth rate in all of Europe has been Italy for quite some time now. That's interesting because Italy is the breadbasket for the Roman Catholic faith. Well, as it turns out, the Protestants aren't doing that much better. Protestant England isn't doing well. We're going to talk about that right in just a few minutes. The UK is among the worst nations for family breakdown in the world right now, according to a recent story that just came out. And in America, isn't doing well. 42% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. Dave, here's a story from Japan, though. Japan apparently has picked up on some of the Western ideas, and I was in Japan in the 1960s and 1970s, raised there on the mission field in Japan. And Dave, I will tell you that the Japanese are not doing well because, not because they started out Shinto and Buddhist, as much as the fact that they have incorporated a lot of existentialistic, materialistic ideas from the Western world, and they try to live like Westerners and don't do it quite as well, and they birth implode a little quicker than the rest of us. Same thing has happened to South Korea. And evidently, the Japanese birth implosion is so bad that they've had the largest population fall in their history just in 2012. This is a story that came out on January 1st, 2013 from BloombergNews.com. Japan's population last year declined 212,000, the biggest drop on record, according to an estimate by the nation's health ministry. Dave, here's the deal. We have been waiting for this. We have been expecting this for a very long time. This is the implosion. This is the implosion of socioeconomic systems that will continue at least till the year 2050, maybe the year 2060. And that's going to affect a lot of economic systems. I mean, Japan is what, the number two largest economy in the world? It's going back into recession, by the way. That was a story we treated a couple of weeks ago on this program. So Japan not doing well. What would it take to reverse these trends, Dave? What would it take to get people to start having babies again? I mean, a tax break?
No. You know, it turns out that tax breaks don't produce children. There is one human activity that does produce children, and that happens in the context of marriage.
Yeah.
And that's not the married deduction for on your tax
form. Well, Dave, you know, we've had this incredibly important, influential birth control pill that came out of the 1960s with Margaret Sanger, and I think that has contributed to the birth decline more than anything else. The idea of birth control and the imposition of the idea of birth control has been very, very influential in the minds of not just Westerners, but Easterners, Africans, all over the world. I think Hillary Clinton and her ilk are doing what they can to try to get birth implosions going on everywhere. 80 countries around the world, not enough. 80 countries around the world, not enough. Got to get more people birth imploding. Seems to be what Hillary Clinton is doing around the world, friends. And a lot of Christian churches are affected by this, too. Dave, my guess is if you compare the number of kids, the average number of kids the average missionary has, to the average number of kids in South Korea or the average number of kids in Japan, you're going to find the birth rates are pretty similar. That is, missionaries aren't really doing all that much good in terms of bringing a biblical world and life view to the Japanese. And they probably have very, very few solutions in terms of the Word of God. Because remember, if you start bringing some of this biblical law to bear, that's not just a bunch of legalisms and moralisms. And who really wants that? So you have Americans who don't really live the life of Christ. They don't understand biblical ethics. They don't love God and keep His commandments. And they wind up doing a lot of work in these missionary fields. But in the end, it's a lot of talk about Jesus, but not a whole lot of follow through when it comes to loving Jesus and keeping His commandments.
Kevin, I think this points to a much larger rebellion in the Word of God. And the church has largely embraced this rebellion. The first commandment, not in the Decalogue, but the first commandment given historically was for Adam to take dominion of the earth. Now, Malthus comes along and Ted Turner and some others and say, no, we're depleting the earth's resources. Mm-hmm. When we take dominion, we're just using up a resource. We're not developing the resource. And our economic theories are based on this idea of scarcity. In fact, if you open up your college economic textbook, you will find in the first few pages a definition of economics that is very similar to this. Economics is the study of the distribution of scarce resources. Well, really, economics ought to be the study of dominion and expanding resources that give God glory. But we don't have that view. We have an idea of scarcity. We have Malthus's idea that resources are being diminished. And we have people like Ted Turner saying there are too many people in the world. We need to have one-third the world's population in order to have a sustainable number of people. Now, you have these two worldviews fighting. Mm-hmm. And it's very basic. The church has, by and large, taken the path of Switzerland. Yeah. They're not in the fight.
Yeah,
they're not for dominion. And they're kind of Malthusian, you know,
which
environmentalists.
Which means there's no faith there, Dave. No faith that God has provided enough to bless our families. And you look at nations, you compare nations that have a certain form of worldview, and you find that they tend to be very, very blessed. Those nations that have bad worldviews tend not to be blessed. And population density has almost nothing to do with it. You almost never find... you take something like Hong Kong or Taiwan or even Japan, that they have a very, very high population density, and yet they enjoy a fairly high standard of living. So, you know, there is absolutely no correlation between the increase in population and the increase in poverty. In fact, I have another story here that I wasn't going to share, but I cut it out about a week or two ago. From 1750 to 2009, global life expectancy, Dave, has doubled, more than doubled.
Somebody's
global life expectancy.
Dominion.
That's right. From 1750 to 2000. Now, my guess is world population has increased to, it has increased eightfold, from 760 million to 6.8 billion. That is, the population has increased eightfold, 800%. The global life expectancy more than doubled, which means that people have more to eat. People are more healthy. People are, you know, there's a lot of reasons to praise God for this. Also, incomes have increased 11-fold. While populations increased eightfold, evidently Malthus got this wrong. Didn't he say it was just going to be the opposite? Didn't he say as population increased, there was going to be less productivity in the world or less of a standard of living to go around? According to this, the average standard of living or the average amount of income for the average person has increased 11-fold from $640 per year to $7,300 per year in the last 300 years at a time when population has increased 8-fold and global life expectancy has doubled from 26 years to 69 years. Incredible. Dave, obviously the blessing of God is still there. God has the potential to pull so much out of this earth, it would blow your mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And imagine how we could probably increase access to energy if we just did a little more research in that area. Imagine how we could probably do a huge amount in irrigation, in taking semi-arid areas and making them productive again. There are so many things that could be done technologically. And of course, that whole issue of the world's not big enough has absolutely no historical backing for it. It has no scientific evidence for it. And what it ignores is that God promised, God commanded, God wants us populating the earth, and he counts children a blessing. And if we could get more Christians to acknowledge that, if we could get more Christians to say, hey, a church in which you've got huge amounts of debt and yet very, very low numbers in terms of the average children per family, you've got a birth rate, say, 1.3, and you've got debt ratios, debt to equities of, 700%, 800%. That church is not doing very well because they are not acknowledging God's law as determining what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. That needs to be taught in the churches, not being taught that much. And as a consequence, we in America are exporting a bad worldview, a bad economic worldview, and a bad socioeconomic worldview through by means of the birth control pill and other things. And Dave, I think it's also existentialism. I'm guessing that we cannot in any way reverse the trend in Japan with some small little tax break. I just can't imagine that thing happening because you are going to have to reverse the basic worldview, the existentialistic worldview that lives life for oneself, that that sees that life is nothing about entertaining oneself and enjoying oneself and not really planning for the future. That kind of worldview that's been so carefully inculcated into the minds of these people through pop media, through movies, through our educational systems and so forth, has got to be reversed if anything's going to happen. That's going to have to happen by missionaries out in Japan, out in the UK, out in Italy, missionaries going to these places and beginning to go back to basic worldviews and saying these are humanist worldviews, man-centered worldviews that contradict the laws of God, and then call men and women to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, that's going to have to happen. I think you're going to have some of that. You're going to have a change of mind and heart. I don't think a tax break is going to reverse this incredibly strong trend towards birth implosions over the next, you know, couple decades.
Kevin, it's not going to happen if we send missionaries over there only to tell people they need a little Jesus. What we need are missionaries who bring the entire counsel of the Word of God, including the dominion mandate, to take dominion over the earth and to fill it with people. We have the church. The church has largely led the way in this rebellion against the dominion mandate in children and so forth. I was told growing up, I was raised in the church, I was told, hey, the earth is full now. We fulfilled that obligation. You know, and I don't think so. We were given the very ideas of Maynard Keynes. Now, I think ideas are weapons. They kill more people than bullets do. And Keynes had this bonehead idea because he was a bonehead economics guy. He said that when people get to a certain level where they own their own house, they have a car and a carport and a color TV, they're going to be satisfied and they'll no longer work, and governments won't be able to stand unless there's some mechanism to keep them laboring. Well, the Bible says the eye is not satisfied. Mm-hmm. The eye is not satisfied. Mm-hmm. The Christian ought to be saying the kingdom of God hasn't gone everywhere. I have more dominion to take on Monday because the kingdom of God needs to grow, and it'll only grow when I'm taking dominion and when I have resources that I can give to missionaries so they can have seven children in Japan.
Yeah. Dave, I mean, it's got to be a renewed, restored respect for family. There's got to be more honor for fathers and mothers. There needs to be more love for children. I think the family's broken down because relationships stink. And I know that Japanese father-son, father-daughter relationships are very, very bad. If you think ours are bad here in America, the Japanese father-child relationship is really, really, really bad. And I think we need to restore the family. I think we need to deal with the problem of homosexuality. I think we need to deal with the problem of sexuality outside of the bonds of wedlock. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Until these things are restructured, friends, you can forget about these socioeconomic systems. They're not going to recover. They're not going to recover. I'm sorry, we've gone past the point of no return at this point, unless there is some massive repentance and a turnaround in the area of free sex, in the area of homosexuality, in the area of the breaking down of family relationships, in the area of birth control, etc. If we don't reverse these trends, you're just going to have to expect a long, long, long decline in socioeconomic statuses in the years to come. This is Kevin Swanson. We're going to come back and talk about what's happening in the UK in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today and talking about Japan, talking about the UK, and these nations are birth imploding. And Dave, I was just talking to a friend of ours who came back from Japan to visit with us over the holidays, and they were telling us that more and more immigrants are coming into Japan to do the work. And some of these companies are made up of nothing but immigrants, according to this doctor who visited with me, and it's a lot largely because the Japanese aren't available to do the work. So they're starting to see more and more immigrants. They're relying on more immigrants. And I think the economies will rely on more immigrants, especially economies like Italy, the UK, France, Germany, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to need those immigrants. And the immigrants are going to eventually take over these nations. And the whites, the existentialistic, materialistic Westerners that got well indoctrinated in a materialistic worldview and thought nothing about themselves, nothing but about themselves, and took the birth control pill for the previous 3 to 4, 5, 6 generations, they're not going to be around for the years to come, depending, of course, upon the religion. Now, the Muslims still believe in having children, some of them. And a big question right now in places like the UK and Sweden and Germany and France is whether or not the immigrants will inculcate enough of the Western worldview to birth implode their populations and effectively do what the present white population has done in these countries. Well, in the UK, we have something similar right now, my friends. The UK is among the worst nations for a family breakdown in the world. However, not necessarily the worst nation when it comes to illegitimacy rates. Now, they do have a fairly high illegitimacy rate. It's worse than America, but the number one right now, according to Wikipedia.org, this is Legitimacy Laws Wikipedia entry, Iceland is the very worst. It has something like a 66% illegitimacy rate. That's up from 40% in 1980. So really significant increase there. Sweden has 55%. That's the number two worst nation in the world when it comes to the breakdown of the family. Then comes Norway, then comes France, Denmark, and then the UK. UK is at 44%, and America is down around 40-41%. So, Dave, right now, the worst nations in the world are the Scandinavian nations, and you know why. It's because you've got the softy-wafty socialist vision there that they think that somehow you destroy the family, you provide all the welfare in the world that you can possibly provide, and the state will become the caretaker for all the people in these families that are busted apart. And time will tell whether or not the socioeconomic systems will break down. But I'm going to bet on the fact that the family is still important. It was designed by God. And I know these social planners cannot believe that God is important or God has anything to say about families. But I'm here to tell you, family is important. And if the UK, if Sweden, Norway, these northern European nations that are socialist to the core don't wake up, they're not going to be existent in the years to come. They're not going to, certainly not going to be the socioeconomic forces they've been in the years past.
Evan, I find it fascinating that the countries with the fewest number of children or are losing their children are some of the countries that have the most draconian homeschool laws.
Yes, they do.
It's where the state has decided to take over the children. Right. And it's interesting when the state takes over the children, the parents stop having children.
Yeah, it's something that Soviet Union did not do. Something that I think even China, I'm not sure if China does it or not. I know that there are some homeschools in China, probably way more homeschools in China than you'll find in Sweden, because there's just a little bit more breathing room for families in communist China than in socialist Sweden right now. We have two forms of socialism working. The one form of socialism is doing its best to break down the family as fast as possible by way of this existentialistic vision that provides womb-to-tomb care and yet allows for free sex in the schools and teaches it and encourages it. They want to see the breakdown of the family because they want to replace the family with the state, and they're pretty self-conscious about that worldview. Dave, of course, that goes back to the Platonic worldview where, according to Plato himself in the Republic, the optimum situation is where a man and a woman comes together, they have a baby, and the baby gets taken by professionals who will raise that child in public schools. And according to Plato, no man should know his son and no son should know his father. That's very basic for a Platonic worldview. Destroy the family relationships, destroy the father-son relationship. That's very important to destroy fatherhood for a Platonic vision, a humanist vision that has been taught in humanist schools who have studied Plato since, well, probably about 1,000 years ago and universities in the Western world. Well, Plato has pretty much broken down and busted up the socialist systems, the countries in these Western worlds that have adopted his worldview where the family is not important, but the state is all important. And that worldview has been tried out in places like Sweden, Norway, Iceland, the UK, and America. And the results have been catastrophic. And I think history will show, Dave, that we were right. Now, I know there aren't very many people saying the things we say. There are not very many political commentators that say the things we say. I think Pat Buchanan might share some of our perspectives, but it's very, very rare to find pastors, talk show hosts, family programs that discourage the use of birth control and encourage people to have babies because children are a blessing from the Lord.
Well, Kevin, you talk about the Platonic vision. The Platonic vision destroys family. It's obvious that's what it's doing. It's, you know, you don't know your children. But when you destroy family, you destroy the very basis for property rights. You know, people and families, households own property. When you also destroy family, you destroy any concern about the future. You be living for the moment because you don't have children you love to pass anything on to. You don't have any property to pass anything on to. The children are held by the government. Why not all the property held by the government? And you're living for the moment. And when you're living for the moment and not for the future, you're going to make bad decisions. And we're seeing that these nihilistic decisions are being made everywhere, largely because some brilliant guy named Plato and some people listened to him decided that, you know, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have children or if the state owned the children? Actually, it turns out to be the destruction of all of culture, all of society, and really human existence on Earth.
Dave, you know, the death tax is back in some form and will be back, I think, for the years to come, because inheritance taxation is something that's very, very important for the dream of the socialists and the Marxists that now control our governments. But one of the things I'm encouraged is that people pass on their inheritance to their children by way of gift tax exemptions.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Yeah. This is a very, very significant portion of biblical economic life. You don't work to retire. You work to pass on something. Because the mission is not complete. You know, the whole world yet has not been taken under dominion. The whole world has not been evangelized. Not everybody yet is bowing the knee to Christ. There is work to be done. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, when I die, all the things that I was using to live for Christ, I pass on to my children's children that they might be able to do the same. This is biblical life. Now, I understand that a lot of people right now in Christendom think that they're working for their retirement. They're going to retirement planners who are telling them how to replace their income so they don't have to work and they can play golf and go on vacations and live their dream, whatever their dream is. But the biblical view is a little different. The biblical view is to serve God and glorify him, take some dominion, to raise children and grandchildren so that they can glorify God in their dominion, so that we can encircle the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ that affects every area of life. Kevin, we're dropping the ball. Christendom has reduced the Christian message to knowing this girlfriend Jesus, who you can tell all your troubles to, and you can cry on the shoulder to, and he'll love you, and he'll deliver you from all your girlfriend problems.
And the sad thing is that gospel's been exported everywhere. And along with that, we've exported a lot of our decadence through Hollywood and other things. And Dave, I think these are the sorts of things that are bringing places like India and China and North Korea and South Korea and, not so much North Korea, but Japan and North and South Korea into the wake of Western world decadence and destruction. Here's the article I mentioned earlier, Dave, was that the UK is among the worst nations for family breakdown. Evidently, where they're breaking down is divorce. Only Belgium, Estonia, and Latvia have a higher level of broken families in the UK, according to a survey of 30 developed nations. So evidently here, illegitimacy rates are fairly high, but where they really excel in terms of the breakdown of the family is in the area of divorce. So the UK is doing terrible in the area of keeping marriages together. And I think America, though, is still worse than the UK in divorce rates.
We're number one.
I think we are.
You know, we're not going to be for long because people are not getting married. They're just going and shacking up. Yeah. They're hooking up. They're doing whatever they're doing, but they're not making a covenant before God to have two to become one. And those that unit, that economic unit, takes some dominion and pass things on to their children's children. We're not doing that anymore. Instead, we're just living for the moment. We're going to have ourselves a little fun. If a baby happens, oh well. We're having children out of wedlock. And then in the church, sadly, in the church, the pulpits of this land are encouraging divorce. So, you know, this is where we're at.
Yeah, I know you interacted with that story a couple days ago about somebody who was talking about divorcing her husband. The Christian psychologist seemed A-okay with it.
It's not just the psychologist. I think, Kevin, that when the church speaks to the issues with inside that happen within a marriage, there's always a struggle. because you have two sinners who come in, mm-hmm. and one has been given delegated authority by God, and the other is to submit to that authority. But the one who's been delegated to that authority, really his authority is to die for his wife and to sacrifice for her. She's to sacrifice for him by giving up her autonomy. But neither one of them really want to go to the sacrificial role. They both want to sit in the throne. Christ sits in the throne, and they get a little confused about that. And in the pulpits of the land, we do things regularly that teach men how to love their wives, but how to get a response from their wives. It's the wife says that she feels loved. We've moved the target from loving as Christ did to having a wife who says she feels loved. Not what the Bible calls love, because what the Bible calls love is keeping the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife now has to feel loved. Until she feels loved, the husband is now required to do more and more things until she has acquired love. This is a very common message. Mm-hmm. You hear it across the spectrum of Christian marriage conferences and marriage materials. It's so ubiquitous that you probably don't even recognize it, but hopefully as I'm saying this, you're recognizing some of it. What it does, however, is it essentially makes the man submit to the woman's feelings. And the authority structure in that marriage gets turned absolutely upside down. The woman now has a weapon, the wife has a weapon, in order to get herself into that throne. Her feelings and her needs are not being met, and her husband must do more to meet her needs. She's no longer the helpmeet, he became the helpmeet. See, the church is preaching tearing apart God's created order. This is what we're teaching. This is the main teaching of the church on marriage, Kevin, and it's destroying more than half our marriages.
Well, Dave, if you think about it, we've seen a huge breakdown of marriage in the Western world since the 1850s. I think I found some data a couple of weeks ago that found that the divorce rate in England was about 1/3,000th of what the rate is presently. There's very, very few divorces back in the 1800s, and yet just in the last 100 years or so, the genie is out of the bag on this one, Dave. We've got so many divorces. I think that the church is going to have to stand up and start applying God's word in these areas and discouraging it. And that's going to be difficult for a lot of churches to do that. Well, here's a couple other articles from the UK, Dave. Everything seems to be breaking down there. As I said, the highest divorce rate in the in Europe, just about. You've also got a BBC report here that says kids need to see more homosexual people on television. That came out just this morning. The report said incidental portrayal of lesbian, gay, bisexual people should be incorporated within programming aimed at children. So this is the BBC.
I agree, Kevin. I agree.
Yeah.
We should have more homosexuals on television. By the way, I think they ought to be being executed by the civil magistrate so the children could learn the fear of God in that.
Could learn something about the fear of God.
So yeah. I agree. Yeah. They just left off that execution part, but I'm sure that's what they meant.
Okay. No, I don't think so. I think they wanted a favorable impression of homosexuality. I think that's what they're going
for. Not a favorable impression of God's law?
No, I don't think.
That seems odd.
Deuteronomy plays into this one. Yeah. Well, Dave, you know, this is the BBC, and I think what's important about this, Dave, is that the powers of government in England are 100% supportive of destroying the family, and the future of England is very, very dismal at this point. The UK may be doing worse than we are. I don't know. One of the things for sure is that the BBC has a lot of control of the media in England, way more control than, say, PBS does out here in America.
They do not have a First Amendment. In fact, I'm told that in the United Kingdom, you cannot do a movie or a TV show on the royal family, unless the royal family has given explicit approval of the final edit, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least we'll say this. The United Kingdom still has a royal family, whereas we have, a royal pain or something.
Yeah. Well, you've got increased homosexuality coming to BBC television, according to this recent article. And here's one more article where doctors in the UK are seeking a court order to carry out abortion on mentally disabled women. This particular woman, who is not being named for legal reasons, suffers from sickle cell disease, which has already caused her to have a string of strokes. But evidently she does not want to have an abortion, but judge will be asked to make an order allowing doctors to treat the woman without her consent. She has been deemed mentally disabled, and therefore you have the court here imposing abortion on her. Brings up a few memories of Buck versus Bale, that eugenics case in America, where you had the Supreme Court of the United States enforce a sterilization of the woman. I think it was Carrie Buck back in, 1920 sometime.
Right, back in the 20s, and there was a forced sterilization, and they what was the big quote? Four generations of imbeciles is enough, or something similar to that. This is a very scary path. This is a
this is not just sterilization. This is killing the baby.
This
so
is
we're getting beyond sterilization now.
The whole idea, and we're hearing about in America, dealing with the mentally ill or the mentally disabled, because the definitions of mentally ill and mentally disabled are very fluid. They change from one day to the next. I would say somebody who's a liberal has a mental illness. There's something very wrong with their thinking. When we go down this path, this particular path, when we start executing children because of the sins of their parents, where we start deeming who can and who cannot have certain liberties based on intellect or whether or not they go along with the orthodoxy of the civic magistrate at the time, is a very, very dangerous road. I would much rather see us expanding liberties and protecting life. Oddly enough, I think that life ought to be protected. Those who have true mental disabilities, well, let's say they're bad at math. You know, we ought to find an appropriate place for them in the world. We're not going to make them engineers. Maybe if they're bad at math, they could become lawyers or something else. That would be a mental disability. The bigger problem, of course, is that we have spiritual disabilities. We have a whole bunch of dead men spiritually who want to be like God. And that's the much, much bigger problem. Psychology, as you remember, is the word psychos, is the same word for soul or spirit. And so psychology really ought to be the study of the soul and the depravity of men. And when those men are so depraved that they will kill baby or force other people to kill their babies, now the civil magistrate perhaps has a role.
Well, the good news is that the homeschooling movement is still alive in England. There are still some Christian families left in England that are able to get their kids out of these schools and hopefully turn off the television set and are gradually inculcating a different worldview, a biblical worldview, into their children. And homeschooling is still legal there, even after the Badman report. Remember Dave Gresham Badman, who was a guy who did a report on homeschooling and recommended restrictions or the pure outlawing of homeschooling in England a couple of 2-3 years ago, and that was overcome. Somehow, by God's providence, he was not able to accomplish his agenda in outlawing homeschooling in England. And so there's still just a little bit of liberty left in England. And that's some good news. And Dave, I want to encourage families out there to continue pulling out of the system. Certainly don't participate in these systems that are encouraging homosexuality, abortion, and forced abortions and all the rest. Pull out of that and seek more freedom if you can. Come to America if you can. Immigrate here if you can. And Dave, it's interesting that you have some British people who've come to America and have expressed their desire to see America become more and more the Orwellian state as well, outlawing the use of guns and such. And you remember, Dave, we have the story of Piers Morgan, who was, I guess, a CNN broadcaster who was calling for more gun control. And it was interesting. Alex Jones went up against him just a day or two ago, and that was one of the more interesting events, I think, in broadcast history, where you had Alex Jones yelling at Piers Morgan and doing his best to deport the man. Evidently, Alex Jones has been encouraging a survey that wants to see Piers Morgan removed from the United States and sent back to Great Britain.
There is a certain irony that we have a person from Britain here telling us that we should disarm ourselves. It seems to me that we had to fight Britain for our independence with guns that we had. And then we have to fight them again in 1812. So there's a little bit of irony there. Look, Piers Morgan is brilliant right now. He's blowvating like a fool, but he's getting all the attention in the world. And Fox News and everybody else is looking at Piers Morgan. And so there's 10 more people watching CNN. I think that's a total now of 110, so that they can see what Piers Morgan's going to say next. What outrageous thing. You know, the idea of guns, it deserves its own treatment and its own show, and we've covered that before. But it turns out that you can say anything, and the more outrageous it is, the better ratings you'll get.
Well, when Alex Jones was on the Piers Morgan show, he's sending him back to England and saying it may be 1776, commencing one more time if you try to take away our firearms. So that's Alex Jones on the Piers Morgan show on CNN. So one of the more interesting events in broadcast history. And it's worth checking out, Dave. You know, I think it's going to be difficult to kill freedom in America. America still has a tremendous amount of freedom in the area of homeschooling, possession of guns, self-defense, and these sorts of things. And we're hanging on to some of these freedoms. I think a lot of people in South Africa, a lot of folks in the UK, perhaps Sweden, Norway, Finland, etc., would like to enjoy just a little bit more freedom. What? To obey God's laws, not to use guns or use homeschooling in a negative way, but to protect our children from the influences, you know, physical or social influences or worldview influences that could corrupt their minds and their lives. And there's a lot of that going on in the public schools, and a lot of those things are going to destroy families and generations to come in the UK, et cetera. If the UK families, Christian families, don't get their kids out of those public schools, remove them from a worldview that is counter to a biblical worldview, turn off the television set, and begin to give them a biblical concept of life as we have done here in the United States to the tune of some 3 million homeschoolers across this country, they could very well lose their children, and there will be nothing left in terms of faith, family, or freedom in the years to come in the UK. But I think here in America, we got a shot at it. That's why I've written the book, The Second Mayflower, and that's why we continue to broadcast this program as we encourage folks to come out from among them, be separate. We encourage them to have their own home schools, give their children some biblical worldview-based curriculum, much of which we provide on our radio program here in America. And also, don't forget, we're heading out to Australia, New Zealand, Dave, in June of this year. So we've got about a 10-day tour scheduled for New Zealand and Australia, and hopefully sharing some of the ideas we have concerning family discipleship, homeschooling, and a family-based biblical worldview-oriented approach to life. We are going to present some of that in New Zealand and Australia in June of 2013. So stay tuned for some of that. We hope that our listeners out in the down under regions of the world will join us when we hit the shores of New Zealand and Australia in just a couple of months. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.